Hey there, agility friend. If you've listened to a few of my podcast episodes, you know that I'm a huge fan of something called growth mindset. You can have access to the best instruction in the world, and you can have the best dog in the world, and the best skills in the world, but if you don't have a solid mindset and approach to the challenges that sport and life are going to toss your way, you're not going to be able to really make the most of all of those bests that you have, you know, best instruction, best dog, best skills, all that stuff. I'm so passionate about the importance of our mindset when it comes to dog agility and really everything in life that I've written an ebook about growth versus fixed mindset, what the hallmarks of those two mindsets are, and how one can really propel you along your agility journey and one may really be holding you back, maybe without you even being aware of it. That ebook is not for sale anywhere, but it is available for free to subscribers of my email list. So if you're curious about what a growth mindset is, what a fixed mindset is, and how to ensure that you've got the right mindset for making the most of your dog agility training and handling journey, head to podcast.theagilitychallenge.com and scroll down till you see the link to subscribe to my email list and get that ebook. It's totally free and it's a game changer. Check it out today at podcast.theagilitychallenge.com.
Once upon a time, I posed the following question on social media, and I did it to generate a specific conversation, and it was pretty successful. And here's the question that I posed. Now, a couple of pieces of context, actually. Masters is the highest level in AKC agility, the American Kennel Club. It's like grade three. There are some other courses that are technically more challenging, probably, but Masters is that highest titling level. So my question was, what is the point of the weave poles, which are an agility obstacle? What is the point of the weave poles on a master's level course if the approach and the entry is just going to be a straight on, easy approach? And if the handler can just move alongside the weave poles with their dog, just like in novice, which is the beginning level. Haven't the dogs already proven their proficiency at just completing that obstacle at the lower levels? At the master's level, shouldn't those weave poles pose some sort of training or handling challenge or skill beyond just proficiency? Now, not that every master's level course or any course really should have 20 obstacles and 20 challenges, but how do we grow as handlers and trainers if we're not consistently presented with creative challenges on course? Why not just omit the weaves, for example, or the table, if our dogs have already proven their proficiency just doing those obstacles, and if they can't be used to introduce more handling and training challenges at the master's level? Now, when I originally presented this tip a couple of years ago, the table was in the master's level courses. It was a requirement. And so now that's even more pertinent. Why not just omit the weaves or the table if the dogs have already proven their proficiency at just doing those obstacles? Well, now there's been a rule change and the table is not going to be in masters anymore because for that very reason, the dogs have already proven their proficiency just doing the table. So with the weaves, why not just take them out too? If the dogs have already proven their proficiency and there's not going to be more of a handling or training challenge with it, why not just take that out too? Now, I don't want to see the weaves go away. What I want to see is some more interesting challenges that keep us on our toes and continue motivating us to grow our skills as trainers and handlers. So when I originally posted those questions on social media, there was plenty of discussion, and it ranged from, why, yes, I'd like more courses where the number of challenges is equal to the number of obstacles, to other responses that said, basically, no thanks, things are plenty challenging as it is. And also there was some of get off my lawn with your dangerous ideas. You're suggesting some things that feel threatening to me. But in my online training program, the Agility Challenge, one of the overall guiding principles is that challenge is something to be embraced, sought after, chased after, and that when you master one challenge, it's just a stepping stone to the next challenge so that we become resilient to failure. Viewing it not as a lack of self-worth or value, but merely a signal that we've learned something or that we have something yet to learn. Over the years, challenge is something that I have had trouble with myself. which is part of why I keep hammering away at it. In order to be my best self for my dog on and off the agility course, I have to seek out challenges to overcome. I have to be comfortable with discomfort and failure. I have to be a lifelong learner. I want to be a lifelong learner. So this week's talent tip, tip number 16, goes right along with this thinking. And Daniel Coyle, the author of The Little Book of Talent, which all of these tips are drawn from, opens up this tip by saying, in our busy lives, it's sometimes tempting to regard merely practicing as a success. We complete the appointed hour or half hour and sigh victoriously, mission accomplished. But the real goal isn't practice, it's progress. As Coach John Wooden put it, never mistake mere activity for accomplishment. How do we go about making sure that we don't fall into the trap of mistaking mere activity for accomplishment? Coyle suggests setting a daily SAP, smallest achievable perfection. Pick a single chunk that you can perfect, not just improve on, not just quote unquote work on, but get it 100% consistently correct. Maybe it's your dog's position at the end of a contact. Maybe your dog sits stay at the start line. Maybe a good, clean, solid nose touch to hand. The point is to take the time to dig in and aim at a small, defined target, and then put all your effort into hitting that target. And it's important that you be able to tackle this with a real sense of purpose and intention and zest so that your dog enjoys digging down into those details as well. A lot of people say to me, oh, my dog doesn't like repetition. But a lot of it, I think, is that the handler and trainer is just going through those motions. They're just aiming for reps. Oh, I did 10 sets of pulls. I'm done. Instead of really digging into and looking for those gems and really digging into the nitty gritty and having that attitude of that was good, but man, we can be better. We can be one degree better. And really tackling it like you would want your dog to tackle a tug toy. Now, you and your dog are not going to be transformed in a single day, much less a single training session. We're built to improve little by little, connection by connection, rep by rep. So break things down into chunks and then try to perfect those chunks, one chunk at a time. Now, I've got one more quote from you. It's from Coach John Wooden. He was a basketball coach. He was pretty famous for all of his successes with his basketball team. And also he had a book that he wrote. And he also had an image called the Pyramid of Success, which is a pretty interesting graphic. I'll put it on the podcast page for you guys to take a look at. But the quote is, don't look for the big, quick improvement. Seek the small improvement one day at a time. That's the only way it happens. And when it happens, it lasts.
Thanks for joining me on the Agility Challenge podcast with Daisy Peel. If you'd like to take your agility training, handling, and mental game to the next level, check out that ebook that I mentioned at the top of the episode. You can get it for free at podcast.theagilitychallenge.com. It's not for sale anywhere, and it's only available to subscribers of my email list. Getting on board with the right mindset when it comes to your dog agility handling and training challenges is a game changer. So make sure you check it out.